Okay, well, I thought that again today we were going to have the canceled. Yeah, the snow was coming down and the wind at a moment there. Incredible. But we're here. Great. And we've really enjoyed the time of fellowship with many of you. And here or at different homes. So thank you for your generosity, your hospitality, good questions. I don't know if good answers, but so I won't go into many details of Uruguay and its culture, society, beliefs, because you know quite a bit of that. And I've noticed that many of you remember several details about the country and its history and its secular-minded thoughts since its foundation, leaving God far away from education system. Uruguay has never had the Bible or prayer in the classroom. So it has been a country, as you well know, far apart from God. Very secular and very different to the rest of the countries in Latin America because it's kind of like a small Europe there in South America. That's what Uruguay would be, to give you a quick idea. And I'm sure that if you start to investigate online, you'll find a lot of information about Uruguay, which is very interesting. A very small country. And here's the picture of the family. And as you see, our daughter, as you know, our daughter was married yesterday, 1 year ago. So they celebrated their first year of marriage. Finishing a summer camp. They were leaders, both of them, and Nacho, director of the two children camp, the first one from 8 and 9, and the second camp was 10 and 11. And so during the whole year, the assembly in Montevideo, where we were working, was able to reach out many, many children. I'll give you some more details, so I don't want to give it now. But many of those children that were reached by a very nice group, Annie was part of that group, in four different neighborhoods in Montevideo, were able to go to this camp. And it was really nice to see our home assembly there in Montevideo being very generous. Nacho, Amy's husband, stood up one day and told, after the Lord's Supper, the brethren, we need, each camp is $100, and we want to reach the goal of sending 24 of the children from those different neighborhoods. And so the assembly responded very quick, was very generous, and we praise the Lord for that. And it just encourages our heart to see that the Christians really want to send these children that come from very poor areas, and you'll see the pictures, very low on resources, being funded to be able to go to the summer camp. So there were 25, I believe, 25 children of those ages, 8, 9, 10, and 11, that were able to go to the summer camps. I will be probably sending a bit more information by the end of February or beginning of March in an update that we'll be sending to you. So if you want to receive it in your inbox, you can write us to the Gmail account. It's on the new prayer card that we've brought. So there you see Nacho and Amy. Amy, that pretty girl there, she turned 22 recently, married to Nacho. He comes from an unsaved context, not a Christian family. But when he came to the Lord when he was 14, part of the teens group, he just started to grow steadily and real nice guy. We were very happy with him. And he loves our daughter, and so we are very pleased. Yeah, I think one of the biggest prayers that we have as parents is that the spouse of our kids turn out to be better than us. And I was telling Leticia, it's great to see Nacho. In some areas, he beat me up. He was excellent from the start, a real good husband. So we are very glad and praise the Lord for that. And obviously, we know that they've just started and that many things can happen as life goes on, many trials, tests, and so we appreciate that you would have their marriage in your prayers. And here's Annie, another pretty girl, eh? And she's with us this time, and she's staying in Canada, so when we go back to Uruguay, in the Lord's will, she'll be staying and seeking guidance from the Lord and waiting to see where her application will go and for her studies. So the following picture, for those of you who did not remember where Uruguay is, my grandfather had a funny way of saying it. I think it's not a polished way of saying it, but he had a good sense of humor. You probably remember him. And he said Uruguay is under the armpit of Brazil and Argentina. And so hopefully it smells well. And so 3 million, 200,000 people approximately, and the same amount of people that live outside of the country. And it's right on the Atlantic Ocean and River Plate. As you see, the River Plate, am I in the way of somebody there? Of you, yeah. Okay, so let's get in a better position here. And so this is River Plate that comes from the north, and it's very wide when it arrives to the ocean. There's about 450, maybe 500 kilometers there of this river that opens up and finishes in the Atlantic Ocean. Montevideo has a very good port of deep waters, and so the Portuguese and the Spanish fought for it for many years. And we were telling Rob and Cheryl this afternoon that I was going to say something important. Oh, yeah, that one of the reasons that Uruguay is kind of like Europe is because all of the indigenous people were slaughtered and killed. And so if you go to Uruguay someday, you'll see people like ourselves, a lot of Italians, Spanish, a lot of Germans, and Dutch, and some French, not too many. And this verse has been the verse that has been with Litty and me since we were commended 20 years ago. A little review of our ministry in Uruguay. In 2002, we went to Punta del Este, a beautiful city, a resort city down by the Atlantic Ocean. And there was no assembly there, and the Lord guided us to this place. And here's a picture of the brothers and sisters from the assembly there, a very nice local church, and a young couple that was commended in 2018 that are serving full-time in the assembly there with other beautiful brothers and sisters. So that was a baptism that we were invited to go 2 years ago of 7, 8 teenagers and young people. So it's the name of the church, Iglesia Bíblica Cristiana, Surgiendo a la Vida. And that work was started 20 years ago, and it's beautiful to see how, as years go by, the growth of the assembly there. The following picture will show you the second stage of our ministry, the church revitalizing in Montevideo and Carmelo. This is more recent, and in the newsletters, you probably kind of remember those two names, Montevideo and Carmelo, quite a bit. Montevideo is the capital city, and the Lord took us to an assembly that went through different situations and problems, a 60-year-old assembly, and there were no elders. There were the transition at a point did not exist, and so the assembly, there were about 60, 70 in fellowship and going through several struggles, so we went there to help, and we are still there until the Lord wants us there. So there are some pictures of that I wanted to, that I referenced to earlier on, of the four neighborhoods, very poor. 200 children were reached during the COVID in almost 2 years. Since we weren't able to have Sunday school in the chapel, the group of brothers and sisters decided to go to the neighborhoods. So the Sunday school had about 35, 40 children, and the group that serves in this area, there are about 35, Annie, approximately, that were serving in these four neighborhoods, it started going, and it was fantastic, the response, and many children. And from those, some of them went to these camps. Maybe Annie could put a finger there on some of the children who went. I cannot tell you that, but, well, that was an excellent opportunity, an advantage of the COVID-19 that got the church out of the walls into the community. And we'll see what happens, because everybody's very happy to the things that have happened. In fact, the women have start of the assembly started praying and going to the neighborhood and connecting with the mothers of these children. And some mothers have come to the Lord also. So it's incredible how the Lord has worked through this pandemic in this area of the city of Montevideo. Part of this second stage in our ministry since 2011 to last year is the church revitalizing process in Carmelo, another assembly that went through some tough situations. There were just six brothers and sisters left over. I don't know if that's the proper word, but when we arrived, there were just six there in a very sad situation, very discouraged. There were moments that the elders from different assemblies in Montevideo, since we were all working together, we had a meeting and praying, and in fact, one of the things that was considered was closing down this assembly. And so they asked me if it would be okay for us to start traveling to Carmelo. It's a 250-kilometer drive there and 250 back. So all of these challenges really energized me. And when I got back home, I told Letty, and Letty said, well, so we prayed, and just the Lord has had us there, and we are very grateful for what He has done. The church did not close down, but it took quite a bit of time to be able to see it start to grow. And there's some pictures here of the people. It's a small group. I think now there are 22 or 23 in fellowship, so it has grown from that initial six, and many kids. And Leticia has invested a lot of time in all of those children, and they love Leticia. So it's Tia Leticia, Auntie Leti. And so This is the young couple that was commended also, national, right here, and into the full-time work for the assembly here. So that is important. This means that we are going to transition slowly in the next 2 years away. It's an assembly that won't depend on us so much, and that's the idea, that all of the brothers and sisters from the assembly there commit. There's a young family that we invested a lot of time with, Leticia also. He'll probably be a future elder of the assembly. He's a math teacher. I think it's him here. And a beautiful wife that both of them love scriptures, study scriptures a lot, and they're raising a beautiful family. So pray for this small assembly in the city of Carmelo. As we move on, I wanted to show you some of the general things that happen in Uruguay. All of the assemblies are working together, and that is a real blessing. Down Uruguay's history, this has not been like this always, but around 20, 25 years, a new process of working together and coming along and kind of setting some goals where we wanted to go as a group of assemblies in the country has given incredible results. And I could share with you all night beautiful stories of how the Lord has brought us all together and how the work has moved forward. I cannot do that because you'll all be gone and I'll be here talking by myself. So that's not the idea. But some pictures of the bus that was bought several years ago that takes the tent around, and you see the pictures of the young people that gather from all the assemblies in Uruguay. They come for a week to do evangelism, street evangelism, working with children. And so this is in Carmelo in 2019 with different young people working on the street, reaching children. There's even a little baby being trained here to give some tracts out, invitations. And so that's the group that was serving in 2019 in the month of February. Now, I do have a video, so I'm going to come this way. This is on.
No hay nada mejor en este mundo.
Okay, so that is there were about 90 children in the city of Carmelo from different neighborhoods that came to the tent in the afternoon. It was very nice. This tent ministry, it has been driven by a national missionary, and he's going through a transition now, leaving this ministry to the younger generation. I would like you to remember the name of Alejandro and Elizabeth. She's struggling with cancer. It has been 5 years now that she's coming and going, and so we would really appreciate your prayers for Alejandro and Elizabeth. They have been working with this ministry for over 20 years. So, whoops. Oh, it worked. There we go. We weren't sure if this was going to click on the video. Great. Responding to COVID-19, MSC was very intentional about helping the different missionaries around the world to connect with those people who they were serving. And so MSC sent in two different moments very generous gifts to be able to help those people that we've been ministering. And of course, it has been great to see the local assembly also doing a great job. So there you see Nacho and Amy and other young people from the assembly that were helping and taking food, clothing. And in some cases where we knew that he or she lost the job and they weren't able to pay for their light or water, we'd pay for those bills so they would not have the service cut. This is another national gathering, the youth retreat. And this year, we were able to enjoy the retreat. Last year, it was canceled. We had to divide the group of 300 young people that come from all over the country into two. And one group was at the Ombu camp in Mercedes, and the second group was at the Alpha camp on the east side. So it was very nice, a beautiful time. It was very special. As you see, no masks. Although in the dining and in the tent, they had to use because the government asked for that. But on the outside, we were able to enjoy games and time of fellowship. This is a group that went from the capital city assembly, and a beautiful time of fellowship after being almost 1 year and a half not being able to meet each other from the different assemblies in the country. So there's a lot of young people. Many have asked me, why are there so many young people when we are talking of a secular country? And basically, obviously the Lord is at work, but on the other hand, our human reasoning and strategy has been, well, we reach children. So the assemblies in Uruguay reach a bit more than 2,000 children over a period of a year. Many of those go to camps, around 1,000 between all of the camps. And so that kind of puts us in a process of working from children up to the preteens to the teens, and the teens to the young people. And of course, as years go by, you lose a lot. We don't have 2,000 young people. We don't have 5,000 young people. So there are many that never come to the Lord, or other that come to the Lord, but after leave the paths of the Lord and go to the world. But there are many, as you see, that gather. So in a normal year, before the pandemic, we would have 400 young people generally in this national retreat, youth retreat. Here you have the Christian school where Leticia is working, and the girls went there as students. Leticia has a beautiful ministry at the school. She goes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and she teaches Bible. That's her function. And here you see her dressed up as Amy Carmichael, and she's very, very dynamic. And I've seen her, and I'm proud of my wife. She does an excellent job. And children come and touch her. She also does Mary Jones and others. And they sometimes ask her, are you Mary Jones or are you our teacher? And so it's a beautiful ministry. 80% of the students that go to the school come from non-Christian homes. So it's an incredible outreach. And Leticia is able to, just with her students, preach to over 100 of the kids and preach the gospel week after week after week. And so there are about 700 students at this Christian school. So it's a real blessing, a huge ministry. Just to give you a little flavor of the beautiful things that God does this year, there was a teenager, 12 years old, and she was going through very severe mental issues, panic attacks, and parents were desperate. They didn't know what to do. Psychologists and the school psychologists and the principal talking with the with this girl and with the parents, and it was just impossible. And the principal asked him, "Well, who would your daughter talk to? Don't you have somebody that she would talk to?" "Well, maybe that Bible teacher that she had in school 4 years ago." That was Leticia. So they called Leticia up, and parents called Leticia, and we were able to visit. We went there to visit them for an hour, and it turned out to be a visit of 5 hours. And we visited them until 1 o'clock in the morning, and we spoke of many things, obviously of the gospel, but also of some of the issues they were going as a family and as a couple, because they were not doing well. And well, about 3 weeks after, the father came to the Lord, and I have been able to disciple him in these months, and I continue contact with him as I am in Canada here. Leticia keeps contact with the wife. She has not come to the Lord yet. The student improved and passed with 80% in her grades this year. A miracle, just turned right around. They've been going to the meetings at the chapel there in Montevideo. So things that have nothing to do with the ministry at the local assembly in Montevideo, but through the school, the Lord uses these contacts to be able to reach them, and it's a real blessing. This has been more and more in an area where we've been working: pre-marriage, marriage counseling, young and not so young. And to give you an example, the couple here, he's 65 and 50 and a bit, and they invited us for a good barbecue. He was Annie's teacher. And so they like to talk with us about their marriage and different situations that they've gone through. And they're just trying to make their marriage healthy. And a lot of the young people here, many of them that have come to the Lord, many of them that are not from Christian homes, so that makes it more important to teach them what a Christian home is, biblical principles, and the importance of having Christ in the center of their marriage. So there's several there and more that are not in the pictures. So as we come to the end, these have been the areas in ministry that we've been involved in these past 20 years. We share in a bit with Jake this past week. We know that the Lord is probably taking us in some other directions, and where our ministry will probably go and have a broader ministry between all of the assemblies. So we would really like you to pray for that. We really want to make sure that the Lord is the one that wants is taking us in that area and in that direction. So Letty has been involved in Transworld Radio. I haven't shown pictures of that. Ladies National Retreat is an incredible ministry that Leticia is involved with other ladies from the assemblies. They gather 300 ladies every year from all over the country also. And Berea, how do you say? Berea, yeah. And Bible School, I've been involved with this, and it has grown. We have a lot of young people doing these studies. So please feel free to ask questions. And we have until 8. I'm not sure what time it is, but and if we finish before, that's okay. But if you have questions, I'm open to listen and try to answer. Yes, very involved. Yeah. Mom and Dad are on the west of the country, west and south. Their area of influence is very close to Carmelo. So every 15 days when we went back and forth with Leticia to Carmelo, we'd go by their city, about 3 kilometers away. And sometimes we'd hop in and say hi. And so they are very involved with the assembly, the first assembly that was planted in Rosario, the second one in Juan Lacase, the third one in Esilda, and there's a fourth one now. It's not a local assembly, but it's a group of people that gather in a home. So they're working in an area of about 50 kilometers, all smaller cities, but close by. And mom gets tired easier, so she can't keep the pace that dad can. So she sometimes decides to stay behind. But they're doing well. And dad's health is doing very well after the cancer he had. And so they're doing very well. Yeah.
The Christian school, is that then run and supported by the various assemblies and parents, or it's totally independent then? Or?
It's totally independent, yeah. So there's no denomination behind it. The founders of the school were Baptist missionaries, and the school turned 56. And so it was started by them, but it's open to, it's a service, and then the teachers all are, come from all the evangelical groups. Yeah.
How far is it across and up and down?
So, yeah, it fits in, we were trying to figure out how many times Uruguay would fit into Ontario. But it's 600 north, south, and about 500 east and west, approximately. Yeah.
Population,
3.2 million. Yeah. Toronto. Or the great Toronto area, yeah.
So how did it come to be that all the assemblies started working together?
There were a lot of divisions, and so in the past 20, 25 years, things have pulled together. One of the good things that kept many together were the Easter conferences and the missionary conferences. And the second thing that really started to move people was when an assembly invited another assembly, and so they'd come, but others would come along also from other assemblies, and that movement started to bring many things together. And the important thing, whenever there are problems, and maybe some hurts, forgiveness. So there was a group of older men in the assemblies, which I highly respect for that. They were able to acknowledge some of their stubbornness, maybe, in areas, heated conversations, and ask forgiveness and try to start to move on. So, yeah, really good things. I have a lot of stories of that, of reconciliation and nice things, things that the Holy Spirit worked among many, and which has brought unity. And when there's unity, as we read in Psalm 133, there's blessing. And the Lord is blessing the work in your way. So, obviously, a good item of prayer is that this unity continue as the assemblies continue to grow.
So the enemy didn't appreciate what was being done there.
No. And during these 25 years, things have not been perfect. Have you seen, as you've seen, two assemblies needed help, and there were others that needed help, and others helped them. We were able to help too, and so yeah, the enemy doesn't like it. No. He's active. One of the things that the devil now must be saying, "Oh, it's all my fault," and well, sometimes it's our fault, and we just let the enemy come in, and so we are all conscious that we need humbleness, meekness, to continue working together. The boxes, yeah. So after a whole week of ministry with the children, they received this box with a lot of gifts inside for them. And those gifts, it's kind of like the Samaritan purse. That's the idea. So all of the Christians around the country put these boxes together, and they're handed out the last day of the activity with the children. So they go back home very happy. Yeah. So I generally the tent ministry goes to four different cities during February, 1 week each. And so I don't know how many boxes. Do you have an idea of that, Litty? 400, 500 boxes that are put together among all the Christians in the country to be able to give it to the children. Yeah.
How many camps are there?
How many camps? So we have, from the pictures of the youth retreat, we had to divide the group in two. You have a Ombu camp. That's where Rob and Cecilia are. And, well, now they're not there now because my cousin Delia and her husband, Alejandro, are on the site at this moment. And you have the camp on the east, right down by the ocean, Alpha. And there's a third camp, it's the newest one, where in the area of where my dad is. So it's about 15 kilometers away, down by the beach, River Plate, from where they live. So those will be the three camps that are having activities during the summer. Ombu and Alpha, west and east, have their camps in January. And Peniel, the camp of where the area where my dad is, they do it in February to not interfere with those two camps. So that camp targets more of the lower class children that have no money to go to a camp. So it's a very low cost camp, very basic, but very effective. Annie has gone there several times to serve and help with the children. So there will be three. The Alpha camp will probably go into a big project now of a large building to be able to hold 1,000 people. So whenever the permits come out and we can move ahead with that, I'll probably let several of you here in Canada know so we can take some teams down. That would be good. Well, any other question or?
How many assemblies would you have had 25 years ago?
25 years ago, there would have been 28 assemblies. 28 or 27. I think that's the number. And now they're 35. And some testimonies that are opening, like that area where Dad is. There's a city called Tarariras that they have a group of about 10 that gather in a home. It's not an assembly yet, but so you have several testimonies like that also. They went down in February. It'll be 48 years that they went down. And my grandparents went down. It would be 57 years. And approximately. My grandparents, I'm not that sure if I'm accurate, but close by. Yeah.
Were they on the west coast or the east coast? West.
On the west. Yeah. So all of them were on the west. So when we went to plant the assembly in Punta del Este with Leticia, we left them all and went very far away. And so that was a very different experience for us. We arrived to a city where there was nobody that we knew. And Leticia's prayer was that Amy would have a friend. And, well, there was a Christian couple with no church. We met them doing street evangelism. And through a contact of a German missionary in a city a bit north from Punta del Este that had a relationship with them. And so they were the first one. And they had a girl with the exact age as Amy. So the Lord answered that prayer for Leticia in 3 months, it was, I think. Very quick. And that was her first friend. Yeah. Yes.
You said that the school
Well, it has grown quite a bit. Like the evangelical movement, which used to be 1.52% of the population in Uruguay, is now over the 5 and maybe 6. Yeah. So it has grown a lot. And in general, the evangelical.
What does the other side look like? What's the other 95% of the people? Are they atheist or totally, like, what?
Yeah, it's a mix, because you have 60% of the people in Uruguay that say that they're Catholic, but they're not Catholic. They don't even go to church. Maybe a 2% goes. Of that 60%, 2% goes to Mass on Sunday. And you don't really see results of a faith there. It's just a tradition. So that's the general idea of how things go. And you have a great number of people that call themselves Catholic, and they say also that they're atheist. So that gives you an idea of that 60% that calls themselves Catholic. You have a lot of them that say, there's no God, or yeah. Well, we are 2 minutes over. I know that you like to be punctual to begin. I don't know. I think I've been a good boy in the mornings. Trying to. Well, we really appreciate your prayers for Leticia and myself, our marriage. We are going back to Uruguay. We'll be empty nesters, going into a new stage. I appreciate your prayers for Amy and Nacho, your prayers for Annie and her future here in Canada. We really appreciate your prayers for the three assemblies that we've been involved in: Punta del Este, Carmelo, and Montevideo. In general, for all of the assemblies and the unity between them, and the different programs and activities that we program every year to be able to work together, and all of those goals that are being set to be able to accomplish in the Lord's will. Guidance to where the Lord wants Leti and myself to be and what areas. Obviously, all of those areas that you saw is a kind of a summary of 20 years. Our intention is not to be in all of them. We couldn't. It would be impossible. But we sense that the Lord is guiding us to some specific areas, and areas where elders and missionaries from Uruguay also have requested us. So we are just praying about them and letting the Lord guide us. So we really appreciate your prayers for us in that way. Finish in prayer. Lord, we are amazed at how you work in the lives of people, and we enjoy it also. Your mercy and your compassion is enormous, and we love to teach and preach and share the love of your gospel with the people that need it. And we also enjoy seeing many of them coming to the Lord and seeking you and wanting to grow. And the work is yours, and we are instruments. You want to use us to be part of the growth of your church around the world. And we praise you for that. We give you thanks for what you're doing in Uruguay. We also give you thanks for the assembly here in Listowel, and so many dear brothers and sisters who love to serve, love to sacrifice, love to be generous, give of their time, of their resources, energies, to be able to bless others. It's all about you. There's nothing in us that would allow us to do this if you were not in our lives. And we praise you for that, and we give you thanks. We pray your blessing over our return. In Jesus' name, amen.